It's a garage located, I presume, within the Irvington National Register Historic District. We have Brandon Spencer Hartle from BDS here to provide us with a quick presentation.
So just, Kirk, are we not going to talk about the letter that
Oh, okay.
Hillary wanted us to vote on?
Sure. Do we want to talk about it now or after?
Well,
Who's
thank you for bringing that up. I forgot that it's staring me at the face and I'm not doing a good job being Hillary if I don't bring up something that Hillary made me write down, and she's gonna listen to this anyway, so I'll hear it. We could bump it to later. We're a little late. I'm fine with doing it at the end. I have a couple comments related to the actually published amendments package that was done on Friday. But I think it's a little more discussion than just 5 minutes, so we might want to wait till later if you guys are all okay with that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, Tim.
So if it's okay with the commission, I'll go ahead and get started. Brandon Spencer Hartle, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Today we have a request for reclassification of a contributing historic resource in the Irvington Historic District. This is not the first time, I don't think, for any commissioner that we've done a reclassification request, but I'll give a quick background on what our role is today. About 2 years ago, we in conjunction with the State Historic Preservation Office and the City Attorney's Office, developed a process to review and provide comments on requests to change the contributing status of historic resources in historic districts. The reclassification request process allows the Historic Landmarks Commission to provide an advisory recommendation to the State Historic Preservation Office regarding the contributing status of a National Register resource. The Commission's recommendation is neither a final or a land use decision. The SHPO will make a decision on the merits of the application within 30 days of today, taking into consideration your advisory review. If either the property owner, SHPO, or Historic Landmarks Commission is in disagreement, the National Park Service will be asked to make a final decision. So, long story short, if there isn't unanimous agreement between the property owner, Landmarks Commission, and SHPO, SHPO will forward the request along to National Park Service. And just as quick background for those in the room, and just to sort of set the stage, in historic districts, there are contributing and non-contributing resources. Generally, we show in our zoning maps tax lots as either being contributing or non-contributing, though there is some nuance in that some tax lots may have multiple resources, some of which are contributing and some of which are non-contributing. Contributing resources add to the significance of a historic district, while non-contributing resources generally do not. Contributing resources have both a sort of historically significant storyline that's aligned with the historic district, as well as the integrity of the resource, which is made up of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. Non-contributing resources generally have a loss of integrity or were built outside of the period of historic significance. In the information I passed out to all of you, there are two things. One is a letter we received over the weekend from from Dean Giswold in the Irvington Community Association. And the other is not something that the commission necessarily needs to fill out, but will help us in our discussion today, which is sort of a checklist of the items of integrity and what we factor in when we consider whether or not to recommend a change to the contributing status of a resource. So the property in question today is at 3224 Northeast 25th Avenue. It is in the Irvington Historic District. The historic district was created on October 22nd, 2010. This property was surveyed as part of the historic district nomination effort in October of 2008. The two-story circa 1926 house was determined to be non-contributing, but the garage, it's a detached structure in the rear of the property, was determined to contribute to the character and historic significance of the district. Neither the historic district maps nor our zoning maps show the property as contributing since the primary resource was determined to be non-contributing. And this is a Google Street View image from 2 years ago showing the house at front with an addition and rear that was noted as the reason the building was determined to be non-contributing, and the garage in question at rear. Going to the National Register nomination, the property was noted as a two-story non-contributing building, but in the comments field, and this is where accessory structures are noted in the Historic District nomination for Irvington, CG or contributing garage was noted, and the second story raised in back was referring to the house and the reason it was non-contributing. And this is a map from the nomination that shows primary structures in this part of the historic district, 3224 Northeast 25th, being noted as a non-contributing primary structure. The property owner, through their contractor, is requesting reclassification of the garage as a non-contributing structure. The application mentions several items to be considered. The house is a non-contributing resource, and the garage being a contributing structure is sort of a dissonance on that specific tax lot. The garage has a modern street-facing door. The garage has modern street-facing trim around that garage door. The applicant notes extensive condition issues. We don't know the date of construction of the garage. It does not appear on the 1925 Sanborn map. And the applicant is looking to make some major changes to the property in the form of a new garage. And so they note that the Type 4 demolition review process is both costly and onerous for pursuing demolition of this accessory structure. Here are a couple of photos of the structure that were submitted by the applicant. One shows the street-facing elevation of the garage, showing both the garage door and trim that are not historic, and then a somewhat obscured image showing the condition of the garage at the sidewall. So what I would like to do is spend a few minutes talking through a few items of discussion with the commission, and then get direction on whether or not we would recommend reclassification or recommend against reclassification. Ultimately, your recommendation will be submitted to the State Historic Preservation Office. I will write a letter to the SHPO, including the applicant's submittal materials, reflecting your recommendation one way or the other. And so a few items that I wanted to put out there for discussion on where we may go with our recommendation is the garage integrity, considering location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association. The garage's association with a non-contributing resource. The fact that the main contributing resource is identified on the nomination map and our zoning maps as a non-contributing property. Sort of a general discussion about the significance of the garage to the historic district. And five, and while this is somewhat adjunct to our discussion, I do think it's germane, which is that there is great interest in changing the demolition review land use type for accessory structures from a Type 4 City Council demolition review to a lower land use type that would not ultimately end up at City Council. And so that code change is definitely on our list for the Historic Resource Code Project. Those changes would not take effect until the end of the calendar year. And so in our discussions today, while we are talking about the classification of the garage, certainly recognizing that over the next several months, we may get sort of these types of challenging questions brought before the commission in advance of a change to the code that does not require accessory structures to go to City Council. So what I would like to do is to, before a commission discussion in this case, I would like to invite, I believe the property owner or the property owner's representative is here, who has a few comments to be made. And we did invite the Irvington Community Association to make comments on this request. And so what I'd like to do before we get into the discussion, if it's okay with the chair and vice chair, is to invite those comments to give you some more context about this question.
Sure.
Great. We did not put out a sign-up sheet for this since it's not a land use case, but if the property owner is here would like to make a few comments, I'd invite them to come forward and do that.
Sure. That'd be great.
That's probably a good spot. And you should be able to tap the button on the mic to make it live.
Great, thank you. I'm Michael Dembro. I live at 3224 Northeast 25th. I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to explain this project and answer any questions you might have. My wife can introduce herself.
Kiki Dembro.
Yes, and Thank you for giving us this opportunity. I think Brandon explained the situation well. We inherited this non-contributing structure when we bought the house in 1986. It was already a two-story house, and the garage was pretty much as it is, although over the years it has deteriorated. The floor has buckled. There's been damage, water damage from the flat roof. And we've talked for a long time about wanting to make a change, and we've finally been financially able to do that. Wanted to do it in a way, obviously, that would be in the spirit of the neighborhood. And so we are looking at something that would inhabit the same footprint, but we'd like it to have a peaked roof so that it can handle the water better. A number of the garages in the neighborhood are that way. We'd like to deconstruct the building, take it down as gently as possible, and go ahead and make it work. And we would like to avoid the expense of a city council kind of review that seems really out of place for this. And I think it might make the project prohibitively expensive for us. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Kiki?
Thank you for your time. And I think my husband's put it well, and Brandon has put it well. It does seem that having to go through this process has been particularly onerous and distressing.
So the part of the process is just going through the reclassification or the potential for a type 4 review is most distressing. I mean.
Yeah, I would say I think it's the type 4 review. And, I will say that there are the National Register, the decision to make this area a National Register, Historic Registered area, I think came to a lot of us as a surprise. I think there are issues around the process. After you vote, if you have a moment, I'd be happy to say something more about that if you'd indulge me. But, for now, I think that's what she's referring to.
Okay. Thank you. And then we also, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay, and then we have someone here from the Irvington Neighborhood Association as well.
Brandon. I believe so.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Hoyer. I live at 1903 Northeast Hancock Street. And today I'm speaking to you with the hat of an ICA Land Use Committee, a member. Dean Giswold is out of the country today, otherwise he would be speaking to you. I want to dispel any concerns right off the bat. I would say that the ICA generally supports this reclassification effort. But there's all of these things that Brandon has raised that are worth a little bit of discussion. The key among those is that the Historic Resource Code Project, which is underway now, hopefully will fix this problem, because the Goal 5 changes now allow secondary resources to have separate set of protections compared to the primary resources on a site. So that will allow the city to, let's say, apply a Type 2 to this kind of case. The particular instances of what might make this garage a non-contributing, we've often talked about this question when the only thing you can see of a garage from the street is a garage door, which takes up maybe 85% of the aspect of that elevation. If that garage door and its trim is completely visibly not original, then it's kind of difficult to argue that this is a contributing structure. The issue of a non-contributing garage with a or a contributing garage with a non-contributing house, we don't know how significant this problem is across the neighborhood, because as Brandon mentioned to you, the status of the garages is in the comment field of the database, and it's impossible to do a query that we know of to get a count of what's contributing and what's not. And yes, it's CG in some cases, but it's GC in others, and it just gets so. There is probably some other instances. We had one already that you have reviewed. It was a garage on Schuyler between 17th and 19th that was classed as contributing with a house that was non-contributing, and in that case, the house non-contributing status was in question and subsequently has been changed. But the garage was clearly, when we got on site and started looking at it with the owner, clearly not anything like it was original. It didn't have a door, didn't have a front anymore. So that one was kind of a slam dunk as far as the changing the status. Here, because it, you know, I will say the ICA has not had a chance to really have a discussion with the owners, which we usually do. As you know, the ICA has an active program to meet with property owners, which we do once a month or more frequently if necessary, to talk through the issues. And in several cases, like we might have done here, we might have suggested that with only a minimal amount of material retained, this could have been called, the proposed change to this building could have been called a remodel or a rehabilitation, which then would not necessarily have triggered the demolition situation. We didn't have an opportunity for that discussion, so that's perhaps one reason why we're here. But as I say, we support the reclassification and hope that this historic code resource project that we are about to, or that Brandon has well underway right now, will help sort this out. It just as a little bit of background, why do we have these contributing garages in the first place? That was dictated to the team when the survey was done by the State Historic Preservation Office. And I believe the rationale was, I wasn't directly involved in this, although Commissioner Ranzetta may remember more specifically, the experience from the Alphabet District, where the garages were generally not classified one way or the other, and some potentially significant structures were lost that just didn't have any protection. Irvington is in a weird situation because we have some buildings with very large, substantial garages that were built in the historic period and really deserve protection. But we also have situations like this, which where we would like to see a separate garage, because that separate garage is a characteristic pattern. So that pattern is important, but the physical garage itself could be replaced without losing a significant amount of the integrity. If you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Yeah. Any questions?
I have a question, but maybe it's not for you, Jim. Maybe it's for Brandon. It sounds like to me that a criteria for reclassification is either that there's a change in the exterior appearance of the property, or there was an error. And in this case, we're not alleging an error, right? You're alleging that there's a deterioration of the property.
Well, Brandon may have his own view of that. Our view of it is that the survey process was an approximation. The survey was performed from the street, from the public sidewalk. So it was not possible to physically approach the structures to get a more detailed understanding of the status. So the garage classifications are at best informed judgment, but very much a judgment call. It could be in error, and in this case, we suspect that it is.
Okay. I mean, presumably there would have been. There's more recent Sanborn maps. At some point, we could have pinned down when it was constructed definitively. It seems like the error here is that we don't actually know when it was built.
Well, it was a 1950-something Sanborn, which our period of significant ends in 1948. What we have done in the past, when the issue of construction date was an issue, and we have had at least one of those that's come through this process, was we've examined the shape and size of the 2x4s, because there was a continuous progression of changes in sizes of 2x4s as standardized by the lumber industry over the years. And so you get inflection points where you can say, well, this had to have been after such and such a date. And in the case that I'm recalling, I think we found it was after 57 or something like that. So, but that would be something that we've encouraged property owners to do. So then if they can show that most of the 2x4s are of contemporary provenance, then the discussion's over.
And to add a little context to Commissioner Chung's question, those two cases, one a professional error, two a change since the time of nomination, may be the most typical situations where reclassification request would be requested, but those may not be the only questions. And in this one, the nuance around the more recent garage door and trim, and the question about whether or not a detached accessory structure ought to be contributing on a parcel where the primary structure is non-contribute, I think, are germane to the discussion today in a way that will give you some credibility in making a recommendation to the SHPO.
Yeah, that's, I think you know where I'm going with all this, which is that we want to make sure that our record is clear in terms of reclassifying a contributing structure such that we have a fulsome explanation as to why that is, so that we don't have other applications for reclassification that where an applicant alleges that it's been, you know, either it was an error or that it was, so severely modified since the time of the modification. In this case, it sounds as though there was a potential error on the part of, you know, during the surveying process separately. We're dealing with this as an accessory dwelling, which, may have separate treatment under the new Goal 5 rules. And then thirdly, the error is compounded or perhaps exacerbated or made more likely by the fact that it's an accessory dwelling and thus not as visible in terms of being able to come onto the property and look at the various features at the time of the survey. So I think, again, for the record, I think I understand the rationale behind the request for reclassification.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I also wanted to, I guess, invite the general public too, if there was anyone here to comment on it, since we invited the Irvington Neighborhood Association. Does anyone else care to comment on this particular case? Okay. Thank you. I do have a question for Brandon. I believe there was another reclassification we had done in addition to the one that Mr. Hoyer had mentioned. Is that true? I mean, I kind of remember a discussion around some of the things we're talking about right now for that other case.
There have been, since 2010, there have been a small handful of reclassification changes in Irvington. Generally, those changes have been for accessory structures that have been the classification status changed from contributing to non-contributing. In those cases, the loss of integrity and or the apparent year of construction were germane. There was also a case in Irvington where a non-contributing primary structure was reclassified as a contributing structure based upon original additional research and restoration activities of that property owner. So I can't tell you definitively right now how many in Irvington, but I would guess a half dozen, five or six,
okay,
since the district was created. Most of those, probably all but the primary structure that I just mentioned, went from contributing to non-contributing based upon a more depth evaluation like we're having today about that specific garage.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for staff, or do we want to engage in discussion in terms of our recommendation here?
I don't have any further questions. I think I'm ready to chat.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Brandon. So I guess we can just kind of review again the situation. So to me, at least, it seemed like the integrity of the building, not knowing the date, probably requires it to be reclassified, but I wanted to kind of take the pulse of everyone else. Is that the general consensus?
I concur. I do.
I agree.
Okay.
I guess for me, I'm interested in discussing a different path, not necessarily one purely related to this structure's integrity, and, you know, not necessarily also related to sort of an error made, you know, during survey. And so towards that end, I do believe that there maybe should be another bar applied to accessory structures if, in fact, the primary structure is non-contributing. So for me, I definitely believe that it should be much harder to reach that bar for an accessory structure if the primary is non-contributing. So I guess I wanted to throw that out there and see if you agreed with that statement, or if not, you know.
Well, to me, it depends on kind of the rationale behind the district as to why it's significant. And that's one of the reasons why it's significant is because of its association with suburban development and the automobile. Then that's kind of where the garages, I think, come into play in terms of how and where they occur within a district. But on the other hand, I mean, these are the first buildings to get altered in a district because they're smaller. You know, cars get bigger. You know, people want to put new doors on them. They use them for other purposes. So they experience a fair amount of alteration over time. So that's why I'm kind of cognizant of the rationale behind the significance of these resources, but also how they can really be dramatically altered. But there are exceptions. I mean, there's, you know, a carriage house in Irvington, for instance, and that's where we can't just say we don't really care about accessory structures, then, you know, you can do what you want with them. There needs to be some kind of boundary or discussion about how to limit the potential for a potentially significant resource to be unnecessarily kind of caught up in a blanket statement about accessory structures. So, but yeah, I'm in agreement there.
I'm in agreement with that as well. I think as you're surveying for a district, you're looking at this building through a different lens than if you were to just approach the site and whether this is a, you know, historic building or not, or whether it's contributing or not, because in and of itself, it doesn't have a lot of integrity or specialness, so to speak,
right.
Or, you know, association or the point though of eroding sort of the overall character of the district is, so, you know, trying to protect these little small detached single car garages, it's important, I think, long term. There's probably a lot of them in this district, so. Mm-hmm.
And I think
anyway, that's what, if I'm torn about anything, it's that broader issue of
pattern.
And pattern. And just to throw out another question, because immediately I thought when I looked at what they were going to do, it's sort of like, well, you could almost approach this as a remodel, you know, but are the rules so technically sort of minded that we wouldn't allow sort of a change that's that significant?
Right.
So as a result, we're going to allow it to be sort of, anyway, it's just a weird situation where if they were really going to keep that footprint, I think you could remodel this garage. Although with the new roof, the fire rating issues might come in on the property line. So,
and just to be clear, I mean, we were provided with a proposed design in our packet, and we are not discussing that today.
Totally,
we're just discussing.
Yeah.
But the indication is that there's a desire to maintain the patterning, and I agree that that's an important aspect over, you know, whether the material is salvageable or.
I guess I was just briefly bringing up the process part of it, whereas if this would work as a remodel, then they would have just done it as a type two and it would have been internal. Now it's this in addition to that, because they don't get rid of the type two, they just have to go through it in addition to this. So I think there's a question on how we want to approach sort of changes to these types of buildings as a broader discussion that it's a perfect example, I think. Sorry if I'm rambling.
No, not at all. I mean, I think, you know, I think goal five notwithstanding, I mean, I think our code can probably be more flexible than it is today in terms of, you know, how we review various types of structures, which is a good thing. But, you know, if I were surveying this property today and I saw that the primary structure was non-contributing, I guess, definitely lean towards, well, the secondary accessory structure, you know, therefore it's just, you know, you look at it and it's just not that critical as its own piece, as a freestanding piece, if this house were gone, which of course it isn't, and I'm glad to hear that it's not going away, but, you know, would it be important enough on its own to say that it's contributing? And I think for me, the answer would be no.
Okay. I would say, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I agree with everything that's been said. I will just add that, or comment that from my perspective, what's significant about this reclassification request is the ambiguity with which the nomination describes it as contributing. And I actually went onto the SHPA website and pulled the historic record. This appears to be a summary of the record. But what it says in the actual record is contributing garage, second story raised in back, which seems to be abbreviated here on the screen. And it talks about the number of eligible resources and the number of ineligible resources, and it lists two eligible resources. So there's clearly some sort of a conflict or at the very least, there's some vagueness because, as you know, something could be eligible and non-contributing, and that's not clarified in the document itself. So for what it's worth, I would say that there appears to be an error, and I think that to Commissioner Miner's point, that error is more clearly illuminated by the fact that the primary structure is non-contributing and the secondary structure is contributing, when on its face it does not appear that the secondary structure is, adds or contributes to the character of the district, notwithstanding the suburb car theme of Irvington. So I agree with I would support a reclassification in this instance under that limited, narrow set of facts.
I was just going to add, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, so I'm on board with everything. I sort of put my ears back when I saw the argument about the condition issues. If the owner's owned the property for over 25 years and is saying that it's in poor condition, most likely the owner contributed to that condition by not taking care of it. So for me, that's not necessarily an immediate argument for declassification that the building is in poor condition, FYI. There's a lot of historic fabric you can save and take care of if you really wanted to. But otherwise, you got my point. Okay.
I agree with you, Commissioner Foti.
And I think the other thing to bring up too at the National Register is that when you do your resource counts of contributing and non-contributing, they're most worried about the big house as opposed to the garages. It's actually, they don't necessarily require you to document smaller accessory structures when you're dealing with a large district. So that's where there's a little bit of a disconnect between how, you know, the city then inherits that nomination and then has to care for the resources. So you'll find that discrepancy, particularly and sometimes in older nominations and even up to this one, where you have that difference. And that's just the way the National Register program is run as opposed to the way the city chooses to protect the resources. So, all right. So do we feel like we've exhausted the discussion? Or,
I wanted to talk just a little bit about the idea that this owner could proceed with an alteration and technically, you know, not have to worry about reclassification. And I guess I'm just, I just wanted to express my discomfort with that idea, because it just seems like it's a little bit of a runaround and that we should fix this. You know, it seems like I don't want to have to tell people necessarily to, you know, while I respect the pattern of this, I don't know if they have a pretty good reason to move the whole thing 5 feet, or, you know, in which case it would be a total demo. I mean, I don't want anyone to have to go through the lengths to preserve, you know, 5 feet of wall and make the case that this is an alteration. So I just wanted to express that I have some issues with that path.
Well, I mean, I think this is all stuff that, I mean, I think Brandon's been writing notes. So I think this is all stuff that will be coming up as we revise the code, correct?
And I think what Vice Chair Miner just outlined about, you know, that level of discussion about an accessory structure and about the right approach would be one best handled not at City Council. And so I think we and previous councils have made it clear that they do not want to be reviewing this. They're not qualified to review these types of questions. And so whether it's a type 2 or type 3 review provides the opportunity to have a site-specific discussion about what the right approach would be. So I think we're looking forward to that in the Historic Resource Code project.
And I want to agree with that as well in terms of the process, because it eliminates that weirdness of, well, is it good enough contributing not to warrant change, or, you know, obviously here this is an easy one. So it's cleaner if we remove the non, you know, if it's not contributing, then remove it and deal with all the contributing ones the same way. So.
Right.
If there's no further discussion, what I'd like to do is draft a letter on behalf of the commission and allow Chair Ranzetta to review that and get that down to the SHPO office this week.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.